Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are grateful this evening for this high privilege that is ours to gather together and study a portion of your word. We recognize that the human mind is incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So it is our request that the Holy Spirit will enable us this evening to hear precisely what you want us to hear. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. Exodus chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, read as follows. The Israelite four men realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." So this section of the fifth chapter of Exodus is concerned with the results of the complaint of the Israelite four men to Pharaoh. Now that this is the case may be seen from the Hebrew particle that begins verse 19 in the Hebrew text that is not translated in nearly all our English versions except for a handful. Now the Hebrew particle that begins verse 19 is often translated "and" in the English versions. However, the particle has several other meanings that are applied to a specific context. For example, the Revised English Bible translated the particle with the word "when" in verse 19. So they began verse 19, "when." Now the 1985 edition of the New Jewish Version, the Tanakh, translated as although. I mean they translated "now," sorry, they translated with the word "now." Now, one thing though is not really clear what is meant in the use of the word "now," since the word "now" in the English may be used as an adverb that means at the present time, or it may mean because, as a consequence of fact when used as a conjunction. Now the New Jewish Version is considered one of the best translation of the Old Testament into English, being of course the name Jewish Version should tell you. Anyway, so they use the word "now." I'm only saying we don't know how they're using it. Now this notwithstanding, the Hebrew particle is probably used by Moses as a marker of result so that it could be translated therefore. Now the preceding context requires this interpretation. This is because what is stated in verse 19 is a logical result of what transpired in the previous section of Exodus chapter 5 verses 15 through 18, where the Israelite four men complained to Pharaoh regarding their working conditions. Now Pharaoh did not respond positively. Instead, he called the Israelite lazy and spoke sternly to the Israelite four men about the necessity of maintaining the same quota of bricks the Israelites produced when they were supplied with straw. Thus, what follows in this section that we are considering make more sense if we recognize that the offense that would not have happened without the negative response of Pharaoh to the complaint of the Israelite four men. Hence, we know we are correct to interpret the Hebrew particle that begins verse 19 as a marker of result that stems from what preceded. Now, there are three results given in this section that are traceable to the negative response of Pharaoh to the Israelite foremen. The first is a recognition of the trouble they and their fellow Israelites were, as stated in verse 19. The second result is their meeting with Moses and Aaron, as described in verse 20. The third result is blaming of Moses and Aaron, as evident in the foremen's Israelite foremen's use of Hebrew expression that indicates that they were displeased with these two leaders, as we read in verse 21. Now the main point or message that the Holy Spirit through Moses wanted to convey to us in this passage is that the Israelite foremen blamed Moses and Aaron for Pharaoh's displeasure with them, that is a result of their complaint to him. As it is our pattern in considering any passage of the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, it is necessary for us to derive a message the Holy Spirit through Moses wants to convey to us. Now, in driving this message, we should recognize that Moses and Aaron were the spiritual leaders of Israel, whom the Lord had sent to deliver them from the slavery. Now, bearing this in mind, the spiritual leaders, bearing this in mind, then we can derive the message the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. This message is this: be careful when things go wrong with you of blaming the spiritual leadership that is trying to help you. Again, be careful when things go wrong with you of blaming the spiritual leadership that is trying to help you. Now, although this message is tailored to the believer's relationship with the spiritual leadership, but it is indeed applicable to a believer dealing with another. Now, this means that it is necessary that you do not blame another believer who wants to help you when things go bad for you, or when things do not happen as you expect. Now, you see, it's unfortunate in this principle that some people are quick to turn against those who are helping them when things do not work out right. See, we are in a society, a litigious society, of course, where people look for money in every little way they can find it. So that this sense of, yes, somebody trying to help me, so things went bad. Do I take it off from the person? To do that means that a person does not have any understanding of this idea of somebody trying to help them, even though things go bad. So people are quick to turn against those who are helping them when things do not go out well, at least the way they expect. Now, this we can see with people who easily sue their physicians trying to help them. Now, of course, I do not mean that no one should ever sue them. I don't mean that when they are clearly negligent, but that in most cases, patients blame them because they think they are in the place of God. They are not God. They do the best they can do with their training. They are not God. When things go wrong, what do the people do? They forget the fact that this physician, whatever the expertise was trying to help. Things went wrong. Now, when there's clearly negligence, that's a different story. But for the most part, that may not be the case, and people are quick to sue them. Anyway, that aside, as we have indicated, because Moses and Aaron
were the spiritual leadership of Israel, the focus of the message is the believer's relationship with the spiritual leadership of a local church of Christ. Again, the message is this: be careful when things go wrong with you of blaming the spiritual leadership that is trying to help you spiritually. We will expand on this by making three assertions. The first assertion is that you should not blame spiritual leadership, especially when you get into trouble without consulting their advice. Now, this assertion is derived from the perception of the Israelite four men that led to their blaming Moses and Aaron. As we indicated, a first result of the complaint of the Israelite four men to Pharaoh is a perception of their trouble, as stated in the first sentence of what we're looking at, Exodus 5, verse 19, when it reads, the Israelite four men realized they were in trouble. Now, the translation of the NIV captures what we believe Moses wanted to convey regarding the Israelite four men in this first line of the Hebrew verse, although some of our English versions render the Hebrew line this way. They render it this way: the Israelite four men saw they were in trouble. Saw they were in trouble. Now, the word saw that is used by some English versions is because we have a Hebrew word that literally means to see, in the sense of physical perception with the eyes. However, the word is used though in various nuances. The word may mean to become mentally aware of something, hence means to take notice of or to realize, as the Hebrew word is used to describe Hagar when she became aware of her pregnancy that led her to despising Sarah, who was her mistress, according to Genesis chapter 16, verse 4. Genesis chapter 16, verse 4. Genesis chapter 16, verse 4 reads, he slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. See, the clause, when she knew she was pregnant, is more literally from the Hebrew, when she saw she was pregnant. When she saw she was pregnant. Now, the Hebrew word may also mean to find out, to discover, as in the instruction King Saul gave to his men regarding discovering David's hiding place that he used when Saul was in hot pursuit of him, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. He reads, 1 Samuel again, chapter 23, verse 23 reads, find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah. Now, the instruction, find out about all the hiding places he uses, is literally from the Hebrew, see and know of all the hiding places. See and know of the hiding places. But then you see, it really means to discover, find out.
Now the word also may mean to experience something. It is used to indicate that the Messiah will not experience bodily decay in the grave, as is stated in Psalms chapter 16, verse 10. Psalms chapter 16, verse 10 reads, "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." See decay. Now see that the verbal phrase, "see decay," refers to the body experiencing decay. So, referring to the Messiah, that his body would not experience decay. No wonder, 3 days later, out of the grave. Now, it is also in the sense of to experience something that the word is used in the invitation given to all of us by the psalmist in Psalms 34, verse 8. Psalms 34, verse 8. It is, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." So, you are given the invitation to taste and see. Obviously, the invitation to see that the Lord is good is not one that requires the organ of sight, as it is to experience about the Lord that will confirm that He is good. In other words, things we emphasize a lot, experiential Christianity. If you come to truly experience the Lord and know that in true sense He is good, then you won't need any convincing to be serious with His word. Now the Hebrew word also may mean to reflect, to consider, as that is the sense of the Hebrew word in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14. It reads, "When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other." In other words, good times and bad times, all from Him. That's what he said, consider. Then he said, "Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future." But here, the Hebrew word is translated consider. In other words, reflect on this. If things are going well with you, and then sometimes things don't go well, he said, reflect on this. The one who gave you the good times is one that's giving you the bad times. Just need to reflect and see what He's given you each for. Now the word also, the Hebrew word may mean to perceive or to understand. It is in this sense of understanding or becoming aware of something that the Hebrew word is actually used in our passage of Exodus chapter 5 verse 19. In other words, to perceive or to understand. So we can say that the Israelite foremen perceived they were in trouble. They understood or they perceived they were in trouble. Now the word trouble, the Israelite foremen perceived, it's explained in terms of the requirement reiterated by Pharaoh in the sentence where we're studying Exodus 5 verse 19 when it says, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. Now the Hebrew is not clear. And it's not clear whether this sentence is from Pharaoh or from the slave drivers. But because the original instruction was from Pharaoh, it is likely that the quotation given here is attributed to Pharaoh. So anyway, when the Israelite foremen went to Pharaoh, they had expected him to agree either to supply straw used in the making of bricks or to reduce the number of bricks as they were to produce every day. Instead of reducing the quota, Pharaoh insisted that the Israelite brick makers should maintain the quota as they did when the straw was supplied. Now, such reiteration of the requirement on the part of the brick makers caused the Israelite men to recognize or to perceive that they were in dire distress. Since from a human perspective, the Israelite brick makers were placed in unattainable position. It is for this reason that they blamed Moses and Aaron for their trouble. Now the first assertion that we're expounding is that you should not blame spiritual leadership, especially when you get into trouble without consulting their advice. Now the Israelite foremen did not consult Moses and Aaron before they went to Pharaoh to complain to him. In other words, they bypassed them. Now, they acted independent of their spiritual leadership. And so, their situation was then intensified. Of course, it does not mean that if they consulted Moses and Aaron, that their suffering would have lessened at this point in the history of Israel and Egypt. But what it means is that they probably will have received an advice. Probably what they don't want to hear, that would have implied they should endure the hardship. In other words, Moses would say, well, endure the hardship. Don't complain about it. Because the Lord is doing something. We just have to wait and see until he finishes. So endure it. And so, they will have said, don't bother to go. Because you'll be wasting your time. Or you aggravate yourself. Just don't bother. They didn't do that. And so, that's what we're saying. They didn't seek their advice. But since they have brought their situation though to the notice of Pharaoh, then things became more difficult. In that they realized that it is fruitless to seek justice from Pharaoh, as he was interested in his own economic benefit and does not care who dies to help advance his economic agenda. Again, God was working so that the cup of Pharaoh will be full, so that he will receive the maximum judgment that God will unleash in Egypt. So the point is that it is possible then to get into more trouble when a believer refuses to seek advice from his or her spiritual leadership that is trying to help him or her in times of difficulties. So that it is important when you're in trouble to seek spiritual advice from your spiritual leaders. So that it doesn't mean they're going to solve your problem. They will give you perspective that will help you weather through and the right direction of whatever it is that you're dealing with. A second assertion is that you may tell your problem to spiritual leadership,
But you must not blame them for it. Now, this is something that I think about a lot. And this is it. We humans have short-term memory when we fail. And this stays in my mind a lot of time, that many times you see a person and something is going wrong and you say, I mean, you know, we may have to try blaming God. But we don't know what transpired a year ago, 2 months ago, 20 years ago. We don't know. Because the spiritual law of sowing and reaping cannot be escaped. So many times when you see people, you have to be very careful. Because you may be saying things that you don't know, you don't understand. And you'll be talking about God not being gracious to the person when you don't know. In any case, this is what we're seeing here. That yes, you can go to your spiritual leadership and they might give you advice that will help you at that point. But then, suppose you are in the direction of reaping what you sowed and you still suffer, don't blame them. See, we humans, we like to find a scapegoat for our problems. But the truth is that we often cause our problems. But there are occasions when the Lord will bring about situation in our lives for His purpose that we cannot explain. In other words, there are times that you have hardship, trouble in your life as a believer, and you check through your spiritual life, and you can't find anything that you can pinpoint and say, well, that may be the reason. If that is the situation, it may just be that, yes, the Lord is doing something with you for His own purpose. Now, I always say, don't go to that route. Don't fall back to that easily. You have to do a thorough combing through before you get to that state. Now, because we know Job, the Lord did something for His purpose. Not necessarily because of any particular sin of Job, although he wasn't sinless. But that had nothing to do with his sin. It had to do with God's purpose. So my thing is always, criticize yourself. Don't leave any stone unturned. Everything about your life, look at it. Don't narrow yourself. Don't be myopic. Don't think it is this particular one. Look at everything. From the way you talk, to what you say, to what you do. Look at everything before you come to this, to take this position that, oh yeah, the Lord is actually working out His purpose. That's why whatever is going on is going on. Anyway, so this was the case though with Israel. God has a purpose for what they were suffering. All that they were suffering, there was a purpose. Of course, we already know the purpose. The purpose is so they would desire to leave Egypt. Because if they didn't suffer, they were comfortable. You know, they live in a very comfortable environment. So why bother to go to Canaan that's always filled with hardship and so on? Anyway, their situation, as I'm saying, was then a part of God's plan for Israel. So that Moses and Aaron were not responsible for the initial suffering of the Israelites in Egypt. Thus, it would not make sense to blame Moses and Aaron. The Israelite foremen, as we have indicated, acted without consulting Moses and Aaron, and so they should not be blamed, although it is perceived that the suffering of Israel would not have increased without Moses and Aaron's approach to Pharaoh, requesting that Israel be set free to worship the Lord in the desert. Now, this notwithstanding,
The fact that Moses and Aaron were not consulted will imply that the Israelite four men were following their own solution to the problem instead of waiting for the Lord to make clear to them the best approach to handling their distress in Egypt. Now, what we're saying is, many times is when people are trying to help you, if it goes wrong, you blame them. When it goes right, many times, you don't say anything. You just go. Accept it. So, this is just the human nature. The sinful nature. That we like to find someone we have to blame. You're the cause of my problem. If you didn't say that, if you didn't do that, I won't be in this mess, as they will say. But no. For the believer, you don't go that route. You look at, don't blame anyone, not have anyone to blame. Work it out between you and the Lord. And be that as it may, despite not being consulted by the Israelite four men, Moses and Aaron were aware of the effort of the Israelite four men to reduce their suffering. It is because they were aware of their effort in approaching Pharaoh that Moses and Aaron came near Pharaoh's residence or palace, where the Israelite four men went to table their complaints. Now, we said this because Moses and Aaron were waiting for the four men. As we read, look at verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20, where we're starting. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 of Exodus 5 says, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. Now, we indicated that the Israelite four men probably did not consult with Moses and Aaron before going to Pharaoh. Now, in other words, what I'm saying is that it is very easy in our human arrogance to bypass channels of authority. Very easy. Now, in this case, of course, they have actually rejected the authority of Moses and Aaron as their spiritual leader. So they want to act on their own. Again, the situation this would have lessened, but they would have saved themselves aggravation by going there to waste their time with Pharaoh and become more irritated than they were before. Anyway, in this case, they did not consult with Moses and Aaron before going to Pharaoh. Now, this will state the cause of the sentence of verse 20, where it says, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. Now, the word found of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that has the meaning of to meet, either intentionally or unintentionally. It is, in the sense of unintentional meeting or encounter, that the word is used to describe the meeting of Saul with the procession of prophets as a confirmation to him that he was indeed anointed king of Israel, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. First Samuel, chapter 10, verse 5. It is, after that, you go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet. That's a Hebrew word, Pega. You will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres and tambourines, flutes and harps being played before them, and there will be
prophesying. That's what Prophet Samuel told Saul will happen. And once it happened, it will confirm that he indeed has been anointed. And it did happen exactly. Now, so that was an intentional meeting, more or less. Well, it's really unintentional in a sense. Now, in the intentional encounter, our word, though, is used in several passages with the sense of to kill or even to strike someone, as it is used to describe the threatened plagues the Lord could bring on the Israelites in Egypt, or punishment, if they did not go to worship their God. By implication, it will mean suffering that will come to Egypt, as the word is used in Exodus chapter 5, verse 3. Exodus chapter 5, verse 3. It reads, "Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us." Same reward. That means meat. Here it's translated strike. Strike us with plagues or with the sword. Our word also could mean to plead, to intercede for, as the word is used in the promise of the Lord to Israel as what their enemies will do in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 11. Jeremiah Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 11. It reads, "The Lord said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster and time of distress." So here our Hebrew word that means to meet, here is translated plead. Now it is in the sense of to meet, probably unintentionally, that the word is used in Exodus 5 verse 20 that we're considering. Since there is no indication the Israelite four men had a prior discussion with Moses and Aaron before they went to meet Pharaoh to plead their case. Now we do not know how Moses and Aaron heard about the trip of the Israelite four men to Pharaoh to plead their case. We don't know. It could be that someone reported the event to Moses and Aaron, or the Lord could have instructed them to go wait for the Israelite four men. The only thing we are certain is that they went to Pharaoh's palace or place not too long after the Israelite four men went in to see Pharaoh. Now we say this is because of the verbal phrase where we're studying Exodus 5:20, where it says waiting to meet them. That verbal phrase, waiting to meet them. See, the word waiting is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to station oneself or to take a stand for a definite purpose. Thus, it is a word that is used to describe the positioning of Abraham's servant who went to procure a wife for Isaac to wait for the young girls that went down to draw water from the spring, as we read in Genesis 24, verse 13.
Genesis chapter 24, verse 13. Here it is, see, I'm standing beside this spring. That's the same Hebrew word translated waiting. I'm standing beside this spring. And the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. In other words, I have stationed myself here. Now the word also may mean to attend, to care for, as it is used of women assisting other women in childbirth, as it is used in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 20. For Samuel, chapter 4, verse 20. He reads, as she was dying, the women attending her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay any attention. See that verbal phrase, the women attending her, is literally from the Hebrew, the women who are standing by her. The women who are standing by her as she was giving birth. So figuratively, the Hebrew word may simply mean to stand firm or to be established, as it is used to describe God's word in Psalms 119, verse 89. Psalms 119, verse 89. And if you get Psalms, please hold to it or put your marker there. It is, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." So, it tells us the word of God is established. It is standing firm. It can be trusted. Now, it is really then in the sense of stationing oneself in a specific location that the Hebrew word is used in a passage of Exodus 5 verse 20. In other words, these men stationed themselves at a particular location, and that they were again in a specified location where Moses and Aaron were waiting for the four men to come out. Again, we cannot be certain as to the reason for Moses and Aaron waiting to meet the Israelite four men. It's possible that they wanted to hear from them how Pharaoh responded to their request, assuming they knew the purpose of the visit of the Israelite four men to Pharaoh. Of course, it's also possible that Moses and Aaron could be waiting to rebuke the four men for going to Pharaoh without consulting them. That's also possible. We just do not know. So all we can say is that Moses and Aaron met with the Israelite four men for an unspecified reason, although it is related to Israel's sufferings in the hands of Pharaoh and his officials. The fact that there was a meeting between Moses and Aaron and the Israelite four men is the basis then for our assertion that you may tell your problem with the spiritual leadership of your local congregation, but you should not blame them for it. So that brings us to the third assertion. Our third assertion is that you should never
call on God to punish the spiritual leadership seeking to help you. Now, you notice at the beginning, I talked about people suing the physicians who were trying to help them. Now, here we're talking about the spiritual leadership. People can call on God to punish their spiritual leadership because of their problem, whatever it happened to be. So that's why I thought our session then is you should never call on God to punish the spiritual leadership seeking to help you. Now this assertion is given because of the wish or the curse of the Israelite foremen towards Moses and Aaron, as given in the first sentence of Exodus, where we're studying chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, "And they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you." Now, the translators of the NIV inserted the second pronoun, you, second person pronoun, you, in the pronouncement, since the Hebrew that literally reads something like this, "And they said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge." That's the way the second you is not in the Hebrew text. Now the expression, "may the Lord look upon you and judge you," of the NIV, is one that is often used for a curse in the Old Testament scripture. If you want to curse somebody, that's one way you use to do that. Now the word "look" is translated from the same Hebrew word that was rendered "realize" in Exodus that was studied in 5 verse 19. That basically means to see with various nuances as we've examined. However, the word may mean to look and see, no doubt. But when used of God, it may mean to look with favor, as it is used to describe the Lord's attitude towards the lowly in Psalms 138 verse 6. Psalms 138, verse 6. He said, "Though the Lord is on high, he looks down, he looks upon the lowly. But the proud, he knows from afar." In other words, the Lord looks with favor to the humble. Whereas, more or less, we can say he distances himself from the arrogant or the proud. Now, the word may mean to look at, in the sense of to inquire into a matter, as that is the case, or the sense that the word is translated "consider" in the NIV of the plea of David that is directed towards the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 15. For Samuel, chapter 24, verse 15. It reads, "May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." See, that expression, "may he consider," is more literally from the Hebrew, "may he see." May he see. But it really means, "may he consider." Now, it is in the sense of to look into a matter with attention so as to lead to a decision of disapproval on the part of God that the word is used by the Israelite foremen in Exodus 5 verse 21. In other words, they say, may God look at you with disapproval. Now this understanding is supported by the second word they use, judge. Judge. Now that the word judge is translated from a Hebrew word that is concerned with justice. The word may mean to decide controversy, as Moses used it to describe one of his functions among the Israelites in Exodus chapter 18 verse 16. Exodus chapter 18 verse 16. Exodus chapter 18 verse 16 reads, whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. See, the sentence, I decide between the parties, is literally, I judge between a man and his neighbor. Now, the word also may mean to pass judgment, that is to punish, really, as it is used in the punishment of the Lord, indicated he would, of course, inflict on Eli, his family, for the sins of his sons that he did nothing about, as stated in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. For Samuel, chapter 3, verse 13. He reads, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. So the sons are punished, the father is punished, all because they all were involved in sin. Now it is in the sense of to punish that the Israelite foremen use it in their wish. In other words, they were so frustrated and angry that they wanted the Lord to punish Moses and Aaron. Now the Israelite men, foremen provided two related reasons for their wish or their curse directed to Moses and Aaron. The first is that it's the curse of Moses and Aaron that they have become hated by Pharaoh and his officials, resulting in their loss of their reputation, as in the sentence where we're studying Exodus chapter 5 verse 21, where it says, you have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials. Now the sentence, you have made us a stench, is literally, you have caused our fragrance to stink. You have caused our fragrance to stink. Now this is firstly because we have a Hebrew word that means odor or fragrance, as in Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 10. Song of Solomon, or some songs. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 10. He reads, how delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. So there, the word is translated fragrance. Secondly, though, we have a Hebrew verb that means to stink. To smell, that is to have a bad odor, of course, as that is the way it is used to describe the manna kept overnight by the Israelite people who did not want to obey Moses in Exodus chapter 16, verse 20. Exodus chapter 16, verse 20. It reads,
However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Now the word does, of course, may mean to become hated. To become hated. It is in this sense that the word is used by a Philistine king, Achash, to describe what he perceived to be the relationship of David with his people in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 12. For Samuel, chapter 27, verse 12, reads, Achish trusted David and said to himself, he has become so odious to his people, the Israelite, that he will be my servant forever. Now the sentence, he has become odious, is literally stinking, he stinks. That's the way the Hebrew reads, stinking, he stinks. So it is in the sense of being hated that the word is used in Exodus chapter 5, verse 21. Therefore, the sentence, you have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his official, means that the Israelite foremen charged Moses and Aaron of making them become hated by Pharaoh and his officials. In other words, they imply that they have lost their reputation as foremen of Israel, and so were resented by Pharaoh. Thus, they are frustrating them for wishing harm or cursing Moses and Aaron is that they have become hated, resulting in loss of their reputation. The second reason the Israelite foremen wish harm on Moses and Aaron is that they have caused them to be in danger of losing their lives. Now it is this that is described in the last Bible phrase of where we're studying, when it says, I have put a sword in their hands to kill us. In effect, they indicated that it is because of Moses and Aaron's action that their visit to Pharaoh has given him and his officials reasons to kill them. Of course, they were not rational because of their anger directed towards Moses and Aaron, which we all know, once we are angry, we're never rational. That's one thing with anger. If it is the right one, you become rational. But generally, if it's the wrong one, you will not be rational. So they weren't rational. Why do I say that? You see, Pharaoh would do no such thing as to kill the foremen, in this case, or the rest of the Israelites, because they served to meet his needs. So why would he want to kill them? See, that is a situation where if a person knows, or people know, or that you serve their needs, they're not going to get rid of you. They do something, they may make your life more difficult, but they're not going to get rid of you. So here they thought, oh, they're going to kill us. No, they were angry enough with Moses that they did not think of the fact that yes, they are doing a service to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh cannot afford to lose that service. So it is because of these two reasons then, as we have indicated, that the Israelite foremen wished harm on Moses and Aaron. In other words, they blamed Moses and Aaron for their condition, even though they are God's agents in their deliverance. They didn't care because things weren't working out right, which is part of those reasons why we humans, we don't have patience. Something may work out from God's plan right in the end, but we just want it to work out right from the beginning. That is a way of a short-sighted person. But if you are patient, even when things are going bad, you be patient, be calm, and wait and see what the Lord is going to do for you. These men did not do that. Hence, they began to wish death on Moses and Aaron.
So again, that reminds us of the message that we have given that we consider, which is, be careful when things go wrong with you of blaming the spiritual leadership that is trying to help you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to the things we will study this evening, so that in the days to come, we'll be those who do not blame spiritual leaders. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.